The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
The teachings of the Buddha, there's often an expression that refers to causes and conditions. And, you know, many causes and conditions come into play to create anything. And so us being here together today, many causes and conditions have brought us together. Each of you have your own causes and conditions. But the idea of causes and conditions, causes are something which is more direct, the cause of something. And then there's a condition for something. So all of you came here today, and so maybe the cause of coming here perhaps was your desire to be here, and that you acted on it. But the condition that allow you to be here are many, many. One of the conditions is probably most of you have a car. And with, my guess is a lot of you wouldn't be here if you didn't have a car, just too far from wherever you were. And the roads were well paved. And there wasn't too much traffic. And just, you know, you kind of start, a lot of conditions that allow this to happen. And so sometimes in Buddhism we focus more on the causes, and sometimes we focus more on conditions. And in terms of developing a practice of mindfulness or helping us find some greater sense of well-being or peace or freedom in our lives, sometimes we can focus on the causes of that and sometimes the conditions of it. And I suspect that a lot of people kind of naturally focus on the causes. What's the cause? How am I going to become more peaceful, less stressed? How am I going to cause my suffering to go away? And sometimes it takes a form like, there must be a switch in there, that if I just turn that switch, everything will be good afterwards. Just push that button. I just find there's a key, there's something to understand, there's something I'm supposed to do, and that could just make everything go better. Certainly there are things that part of mindfulness and wisdom is to see clearly how we're operating, what we're doing, and seeing what we can let go of or what we can pick up so we can have causes, particular causes, that are beneficial for us, for the world around us. But there's a whole other side of conditions. And I think that it's not as fully appreciated how important it is to have the supportive conditions that allow us to grow, develop, do the practice, and let the practice unfold for us. And the conditions are less to do with causes, and but rather it's a wider field of putting into place the appropriate conditions that it can allow something to happen or support something to happen. And so the analogy is that of planting seeds in the soil. The farmer, the cause of having the seed in the soil is the farmer puts the seed in the soil. But the farmer doesn't cause the seed to sprout. The farmer creates the right conditions for the seed to sprout. So what are some of the conditions? It has to be a fertile soil or appropriate soil. If the soil is parched and dry, probably the seed won't grow or won't even sprout. If you're trying to grow corn and you grow it in a submerged rice field, it probably won't grow because corn doesn't grow in water the way some rice does. If there's no nutrients in the soil whatsoever, you might water the soil, it might sprout, but the plant will pretty quickly wither up because it needs to take some nutrients from the soil. And you need to water just enough. There needs to be sunlight. The soil can be just perfect. You think you have just the right condition for soil to grow the plant. And so you're going to take your tomato plant or corn seed and you're going to plant it in the soil. But you're doing it in Alaska in December. You know, and the conditions are not appropriate for growing, for germinating a tomato seed or corn seed in the wintertime in Alaska. Just the conditions aren't right. So there has to be the right conditions for it to sprout. And so this analogy goes to ourselves. We have seeds inside ourselves. In fact, what Buddhism says oftentimes they use the analogy of seeds to refer to our karmic actions, how we act with our intentions, what we intend, what we aspire to, what we act on, plant seeds inside of us. And those seeds will sprout when the cause and conditions are ripe. And so there's certain conditions. And we all have capacities, potentials inside of ourselves, many different potentials, and depending on the conditions and the causes, they may sprout or they may not. Some of the seeds inside of us are not very don't represent the best parts of us. You probably have the seeds inside of you of anger and hate. You probably have the seeds inside of you of greed and lust. You probably have the seeds inside of yourself of fear, of many things. And if the conditions come together a certain way, those things get watered and fed. But you also have the seeds inside of yourself for compassion, for peace, for love, for generosity, for wisdom. And so and those can grow in the right conditions. So part of Buddhist practice is not only focusing on the causes, as if you can be responsible for a cause and make something happen, but it's about putting into place the proper conditions that allow the right seeds to germinate and grow for you. And so what are some of these conditions that we put into place? So one of the conditions that classically in Buddhism is emphasized is the importance of living with ethical integrity, being ethical. Without some kind of ethical foundation of good ethics, you're not going to have the right conditions. You're going to be agitated, you're going to be afraid, you're going to be, all kinds of inner conditions that are going to create something else. But the idea of having integrity and being ethical creates different kind of conditions. You might not see it today, but you might see it in 5 years, the cumulative effect of living unethically. If you rob the bank, chances are you can't sit down and meditate and be calm. Just not possible. If you lie to a friend, it might feel like it was a good choice and you got out of trouble or something in the moment, but if you do meditation practice and get quieter and quieter and quieter, quieter doesn't mean you go numb. The quiet meditation means you become more sensitive to the depth of what you're carrying, the depth of what's kind of operating inside of you. And the cost of that lie might kind of, at some point, in the stillness and sensitivity it comes, might, germinate and into remorse, regret, something else might arise. When we live ethically, we might not see obvious benefits today, but by living ethically, we create the conditions where it becomes easier for the mind to relax. When the mind gets still and quiet, we're not going to bump into remorse, regret, fear of being caught, agitation, a variety of different things that we can run into. And if you're interested in mindfulness and meditation practice, it's really essential to have these conditions in place that allow the mind to open up, allow the heart to open up and settle fully. And I wouldn't underestimate the tremendous importance of being ethical. And then there's things like another condition that allows the good seeds of practice to germinate, classically, is generosity, to practice generosity. One of the reasons generosity is considered to be a useful condition for the blossoming of the heart is that it creates this kind of positive sense of self, a good sense. You have a resource or you have a reference point inside of yourself of ways of feeling good about yourself. Like, I've done good. I've done a joyful thing. I've done a beneficial thing. I do things which are good. The conditions in place when you act generously and rejoice and are happy about your generosity are very different than the conditions that are in place when you're miserly. And if you're miserly and hold everything to yourself and you're afraid of giving anything up, that itself creates a field of conditionality, a kind of a soil, a particular type, that certain kind of seeds will grow in that, and other seeds will wither away in that kind of miserly soil. In the soil of generosity, certain kinds of seeds will grow and certain kinds of seeds will wither. In the soil of generosity, in Buddhism, we hope that one of the things that can grow is a sense of joy, delight. To use a Western word or concept, a certain kind of self-esteem can grow because you feel good about yourself. You've done something good. And you think about, you know, what you've done and you feel good. Oh, yes, this is good. I'm blameless. I've entered into this situation and I've tried to contribute to things becoming better and I can feel good about that. So when you sit down to meditate, you can call up that sense of goodness, not to be selfish and self-indulgent, but as a way of kind of feeling some kind of open-heartedness, warmth, delight, so that that becomes a condition for further opening, further the deepening of this practice. Another condition that the Buddha emphasized that's very supportive for this whole thing is to have good spiritual friends. So to have some people that you spend time with who you respect a lot because of their wisdom, their ethical integrity, for their practice, for something, so that when you're with them, their viewpoints, their example, inspires you, is meaningful for you, kind of pulls out the best in you. If you spend all your time with people who are complaining and griping and robbing banks, that's a certain condition, and you know you have to be a very powerful personality not to be somehow influenced by that. So the people you hang out with has an impact, and so the Buddha said one of the conditions for this kind of growth of this path is to have at least a few. And he didn't say it this way, but I'm saying to have a few good spiritual friends, good friends who you respect, when you're with these people, you feel like you become a better person because of it. last kind of condition that I'll mention is kindness or friendliness. So to yourself and to the world around you, to try to cultivate and act on your impulses and your desires to be kind or friendly, not in a Pollyannish way, but in simple ways, call on that, because being kind sets in place very different conditions, tills the soil very differently than being mean or being aloof or indifferent to what's happening. So you might not be able to cause some of the seeds inside of yourself to grow, and you can't just will yourself to become a better person necessarily, but you might be able to put together a series of conditions that makes it much easier for these things to change. Almost as if a natural process, like the germination of a seed is a natural process if the conditions are right. So you don't have to take too much responsibility for the germination of your own inner seeds. But you need to take some responsibility for putting in place the conditions, till the soil, prepare the soil just right. And then wait and see what, you know, in its own time and place, the good seeds inside of you, the beautiful seeds that you have, everyone has great beautiful seeds and they can grow and develop. Pretty much everyone has some rather unsavory seeds as well. Which of those seeds do you want to germinate? And it has a lot to do with what conditions you put in place. So part of Buddhist spirituality is to begin taking some responsibility for the conditionality, the conditions, the soil that you're tilling and creating. Make some sense? Great. So thank you. So now we have